Hey there, welcome to Shoot the Flick. I'm Frankie Sparks.
And I'm Scott Eisenberg.
And we are a married couple who like to shoot the shit about movies.
That we do.
And this week, we are back. And we're back on Disney. It's the winter time. It's Christmas time. So, of course, we're going to watch the only really Frozen-y, Christmassy, wintry movie, I think, in the Disney catalog.
Even though I think it takes place during the summer.
It's fine. Shut up, Scott. But we needed help with this particular film because it is so iconic in its Disney-ness. We have an old friend returning with us today. Last time we had him on, we talked about Chicken Little, and I was like, oh no, we have to have him on for a better movie. So now he's back. So please welcome Wyatt of Disney Reel to Reel, the podcast. He's back. Thank God. I thought that he was going to excommunicate us after Chicken Little.
No, I think we were on a similar vibe with that movie, so yeah, we're totally fine.
Yeah.
But hello, darlings. I'm back.
Hello, darling. Scott, just in case anyone was confused, what movie are we watching today?
Well, we went back in the way back machine.
Not that way back,
but way
back.
It's
like 10 years ago.
It feels like eons. But we went and watched Frozen.
Released in 2013. I hadn't seen this in a long time, and I feel like that's the best way to rewatch this movie. Just, like, give it a break for a decade, and then come back, and you'll be like, oh, underneath all of the insane hype this movie got, like, you know, listening to Let It Go 5,000 times a day on the radio and on television and all this shit, underneath all of that, it's actually still a good movie. That's nice.
It is so crazy to imagine a world where Frozen wasn't everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I think I even remember when it came out. Everyone was like, they weren't ready for what it was about to become.
Oh, no.
Clearly not. And I feel like Encanto kind of blew up that way, but not to the extent that Frozen did.
Not quite.
Encanto never got to the point where people were, like, rebelling against it.
People have been saying they're sick of We Don't Talk About Bruno. I know that just from working in a school environment around children. Like, for a while there, all the teachers were like, just shut the fuck up about Bruno. And now it's like, all right, it's fine. I went back in Wyatt's show because he does this really cool thing on his show with his cousin Rayleigh, where he ranks all of the movies from each time period of Disney. And I went back to listen about their thoughts about Frozen, and if I remember correctly, they were just like, yeah, it's good, but like, it got super overhyped, and it, you know, it took what was that ride called in Disney World, and they took it out and made the Frozen ride. Not Matterhorn.
Maelstrom.
Yes, that thing that was weird and I never even heard about, I feel like, until the Frozen ride came along. I'm like, oh, there was a ride there?
Yeah, it was very Norwegian. Yeah.
Yes, super Norwegian. And now, like, literally Norway and Epcot is just Frozen land. Look, Frozen stuff.
Well, they made the sequel, so.
Oh, God.
God, yeah. That fucking sequel.
Y'all want to know how I feel about Frozen now?
Oh, well, yeah, I assume you rewatched the film. So give us a little tease of your general thoughts.
Well, here's the thing. Frozen was the first Disney animated film I had watched in theaters after like an 8-year hiatus. And you'll never guess what the last movie I saw was.
What was it?
Chicken Little.
Oh, God. Oh, that's kind of funny.
We've completed the circle.
Oh, my God. But I'd actually listened to a lot of the songs on the soundtrack from iTunes before I went and saw it. And the visions that I had in my head did not occur on screen. And it's kind of underwhelmed in a lot of places. And I also performed that choral piece that they sing at Elsa's coronation ceremony with my high school choir in a Christmas concert.
All right.
Yeah, that very like Latin shit. Yeah, we were all about that.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
But 10 years later, Frozen kind of pisses me off.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Oh, this is going to be fun because I feel like Scotty and I had a generally positive experience. We were watching this probably because we had taken such a long break. Like, I don't think I've seen this probably since it came out.
I think I wanted it to be like the Norwegian Lion King, and it just wasn't.
Oh, God. I think I saw it twice in the theater, actually. But this film was written and directed by Chris Buck and Jennifer Lee. Jennifer Lee being the first female director of a Walt Disney Animated Studios feature. And it also made a shit ton of money. So they were very happy about that. I think $1.2 billion on a $150 million budget. Of course, it was inspired by Hans Christian Andersen's fairy tale, The Snow Queen, which Walt Disney always wanted to get his grubby little hands on, and it never worked out for whatever reason.
I mean, it kind of did, but not with his input. In 1941, he wanted to do this collab with fellow filmmaker Samuel Goldwyn. They wanted to do like this, I guess you'd call it a biopic on the life of Hans Christian Andersen. And they were going to have Disney animate the fairy tales that he had, some of them that he had written. The idea fell through, but it came back around in the 50s because they made a live action movie with Danny Kaye as Hans Christian Andersen. And I think they had a ballet company interpret some of the stories.
Hmm. Interesting. But yes, obviously it was super popular. Like we said, it was the highest grossing animated film until I think the sequel in 2019. We're going to talk about the sequel. And I think, I don't know if Wyatt's going to agree with me, but I think the songs still hold up pretty good for the most part.
I think they, the majority do. There's one.
Oh. I never liked the rock song. Not the rock and roll song, the rock song, like the actual rocks.
Oh yeah, that's the one. That's the one right there.
A bit of a fixer-upper.
Yeah, I was like, this is stupid.
Yeah, that one's kind of dopey. But also, the ice one in the beginning that no one remembers. And then every time it plays, you're like, oh yeah, this was a thing.
It kind of reminds me of Look Down from Les Mis. It's just like, all right, we get it. Like, you're in prison. You're making ice.
And I'm Javert.
Yeah. Christophe Javert, just like...
Oh my god.
That was always weird to me too. Like how, okay, who is this little kid that just hangs out with these ice guys and then out of nowhere he goes and like gets adopted by the rock people apparently and no one questions that. Like, yeah. I don't know. Does he have a mom? Like where are his parents?
Were the ice harvesters even gay? Like were they all part of a commune? Like what was going on? Like
oh my god.
So many unanswered questions.
Well, speaking of the songs, they were written by married couple Robert Lopez and Kristen Anderson Lopez. They also wrote the songs for the sequel. Not great. They wrote the extra songs for the Broadway musical. And then they wrote the songs for Coco, which got them their second Oscar after their, I think, their first one here for Let It Go. This movie ended up winning two Oscars. One for original song and one, of course, for animated feature because it was like Encanto. When Encanto was nominated, it's like, obviously that's going to win. Why even bother looking at anything else? But because this movie takes place in Norway and it's Disney and you know how they're all, you know, they'll take any excuse to go on vacation. So the production crew went to Norway for 2 weeks before production started and it was... The movie was largely informed by their visit. Lots of, you know, landscapes and clothes and the music and the buildings and...
And the saunas.
But yeah, the Broadway version lasted a couple years, got shut down by COVID because they didn't make enough money to come back. And then it got like 3 Tony nominations. And then the sequel. The sequel, it looked really pretty.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it had one good song and a Idina Menzel song that was like, they tried so hard to be Let It Go, but it wasn't Let It Go.
I'm sorry. What's her name? I didn't hear
Idina Menzel. Adele Nazeem.
No. That's what her name is. No. What's her full legal name?
The wickedly talented one and only Adele Dazeem.
The wickedly talented Adele Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem.
Oh, God.
Oh, Travolta. You should come to every award show ever and just pronounce people's names wrong. What was I going to say? Yeah, I'm curious as to your thoughts on the Frozen sequel. Because I, even though I didn't like it really, and we were trying to remember last night what the plot was, and we couldn't, neither me or Scott, I was surprised that it got snubbed for animated feature at the Oscars completely. I was like, wow, not even a nomination.
I agree with you. I think it's a visually stunning movie. The one thing I will always say about all these like computer generated Disney movies is that the visual effects teams are killing it. Like they are like top tier craftsman level like work. It's all gorgeous. Like Encanto, Raya and the Last Dragon, yeah. Frozen 2, like they all look beautiful. And I was so happy to finally see Brendan Urie be a Disney princess.
True. That's fair. Oh, and yeah, and then the news just came out recently that, because they already said they're doing Frozen 3, and I feel like 80 to 90% of people were like, why? And then they're like, oh, wait, you thought we were done? No. You haven't even seen Frozen 3 yet, but you're already going to get a Frozen 4. I'm like, I think you're getting ahead of yourself a little bit.
Are we going to see Grandma Elsa?
Oh, my God.
I would love it.
If Avatar can do it, we can do it.
Oh my God. So yeah, that's it as far as preliminary fun facts. Are we ready to get into the nitty gritty of this thing? I'm a little scared because Wyatt has already expressed his pissed offness with the movie.
Well, here's the thing. It is a perfectly well-made movie. It's just I have problems with its story and characters. But otherwise, my reindeer are saddled and my tips are frosted. So I'm ready to do this.
Excellent. So let us go into the not so unknown with Frozen. Are we ready to get into the nitty gritty?
It's cold. Let's
go. Okay. All right. That was the lamest one. That was okay. Thanks. You saved us there. Okay. That was pretty lame. Okay. So we start with the Frozen Heart song, which we already kind of touched upon.
Yeah. Gay Harvesters. I love it. Yes.
It's like fine, whatever. Kind of gets us in the vibe of, you know, it's chilly and shit.
What type of job is just selling ice blocks?
I don't know.
Like, I don't understand.
It's like the joke he Kristoff makes later in the movie. He's like, you think you got it bad? I sell ice for a living. Wah, wah, wah. And it's like, but why do you do that?
I never thought about that. Mainly because I didn't care about this part.
That's fair. So we cut to the Arendelle Castle, and we see a young Anna and a young Elsa playing around and being silly. The sky is awake, so I'm awake, and it's the middle of the night, and they're just fooling around with Elsa's ice powers. And Elsa accidentally hits her little sister Anna with her ice powers, and she fucking knocks herself out and gets a little white streak of hair.
And then the parents come in.
They're like, I know what to do. Let's go see the rock people.
Oh my God.
They'll know what to do. It's like, honey, why do we have to go? How do you know these rock people? How? What fucking shit did you get involved in your past?
Don't ask. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's totally fine.
Well, yeah, that's what the sequel was about.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, right. Because they come upon the boat that the parents drowned in, so that kind of ruins the whole theory that Elsa and Anna's parents are also Tarzan's parents.
And also that ship was from The Little Mermaid.
Yeah. So the girl's parents, the king and queen, take their children to the rock people, and they, you know, they heal Anna, and they take all her memories away of Elsa's magic, but then they just plant the little seed of, like, the most obvious psychological complex in Elsa. Like, you are a dangerous person, and if you don't isolate yourself, conceal, don't feel, you're gonna kill somebody. So this...
No. It's even worse. They put the most diabolical scheme into the void, and they expect her parents to help her out with it. They introduce her to metaphors.
Oh my God.
They're like, fear will be your enemy. And oh, she'll kill someone. Lock her up.
Yeah. It's like no. I mean, listen, I'm not a psychiatrist, but like, what exactly did you think was going to happen when you did this?
On all timelines, this was going to end badly.
In every facet of the multiverse, this was not going to work out well.
Hey, child, small child, be afraid of whatever you can do. It won't lead to you, you know, not being able
having
to,
crippling anxiety,
not being able to socialize with anyone.
Yeah, and like obviously because it's a Disney movie, the parents die, right? So it begs the question, like, what did you think she was supposed to do when you die? Because typically, I mean, their death happens unexpectedly, right? They're supposedly going to Rapunzel and Flynn's wedding. That's the lore.
Eugene.
Right. Pardon. But eventually, you know, your parents get old and die. Sorry, people. I don't know if you realize that.
What?
So what did they think was going to happen after they die? Or they're just like, ah, I don't care. That's her problem.
Here's the thing. Like, clearly her ice powers are meant to be a metaphor for anxiety. So I'm just wondering why the idea of, like, therapy never came up.
Yeah, you figure your best course of action would be, hey, you have these powers. I think our best way is to, like, help you learn how to use them.
Why don't you just, like, let her live with the rock people? And, like, they can help her. Like the Force. Like, the grandpa fucking Kieran Hines rock can be Yoda. And then Elsa can be Luke Skywalker. And she can learn the ways of the Force.
Or if you want to make it really queer, like, just send her to a nunnery.
That, there you go. Get thee to a nunnery. So, yeah, this is the dynamic that we've set up now with these children. And we get the song, Do You Want to Build a Snowman? Which I think is still cute.
Do you want to build a snowman? Come on, let's go and play. I never see you anymore. Come out the door. It's like you've gone away.
But yeah, it's just like a very cutesy way to display how trauma and handling it badly can really drive a wedge in your family dynamics. Because also Anna's isolated by default, sort of, because she's stuck in the castle all day and she has no friends. So it's really just Elsa's being so anxious and scared to be around people that she's wound up like a top. And then you got Anna, who is so isolated and like starved for attention that the second they let her out, it's like a conservative family, like teenager who goes to college and just becomes the biggest party girl in all of the land. Like,
she's
so desperate for attention that she goes out and like falls in love with the first guy she sees.
I mean, we agree that she was like 15 when the parents died.
Yeah.
Yeah. So nobody was going to have the talk with her about like what's going to happen after happily ever after, you know?
No. About like safe sex and always check the license plates of your Uber when you go out to make sure it's actually your Uber before you get in the car. You'll be just fine, sweetie.
Oh my God.
So then Anna sings First Time in Forever, which is like, oh, it's coronation day. Elsa's gonna be queen of Arendelle, and it's totally gonna work out fine because she's not freaking out at all.
Don't kill anybody, don't kill anybody, don't kill anybody.
And they open up all the gates and they have this big party, and Anna's like, well, the gates are only gonna be open for 24 hours, so I better find myself a man. I better get out there.
The other things, like, there's a lot of little subtle humor bits here, like,
yes.
That I think actually upon rewatching and not watching this in like, let's say, 10 years, that you're like, wow, that was funny again. I didn't remember, like, oh, I'm sure the princesses are so beautiful, and they cut to Anna in like bedhead and she's like looks like a psychopath.
Yeah, I think part of the reason maybe that this film became really popular was because the writing and the performances and stuff, like, it, they didn't sound like, you know, the quote-unquote old-timey Disney princesses. They were very much marketing this movie.
Oh, you darlings. This is the happiest day of my life.
I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying they were clearly marketing this movie as, like, the modern Disney princess.
Yeah, yeah,
you can't marry a guy you just met.
We'll get into that.
Oh. you know, oh, all the tropes, they're turning them on its head, everything, you know what I mean? So the dialogue, some of it is like, we can get into the cast in just a second, but like the actress that plays Anna, Kristen Bell, she's got a very like a comedic background. She also has a Broadway background. A lot of these people do in the cast, which is good. Mm-hmm. But she definitely added, I think, a lot of like the typical like girl next door, like, oh, I don't really know what I'm doing, but hey, I'm here, a quirky me humor. And like, that helped a little bit.
Yeah. But for better or worse, I've seen a lot of criticisms about how Asha in Wish is going to come out. And like, she's another one of those like Disney adorkable girls.
Yeah.
You know, that we've been having with since like Rapunzel. Uh-huh. And like Anna.
Yeah, Rapunzel is the same thing.
Mirabelle. Yeah. Anna is like the adorkable girl on like 50,000 pixie sticks.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. So just to kick off the casting here, adult Anna at a tender age of 18 is voiced by Kristen Bell. This is 5 years after she was Sarah Marshall in Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Ah.
But yeah, she's a decently fun, like quirky comedic mm-hmm. actress. She did The Good Place, and I know she did Reefer Madness on Broadway, so she's fun. And then we got Elsa, who is voiced by Idina Menzel, who is
kind
of a Broadway legend, I would say. She was in the Rent original cast, Wicked original cast.
I'm sorry, what's her name?
I'm not doing it.
What is her name again? The wickedly talented Adele Dazzy.
The just like the uptick when the wickedly talented. I can't.
You should have just did it in a Danny Zuko accent.
Oh my god, that would have been so much
the
worse.
Wickedly talented.
Apparently, oh my god. Apparently, in early development of the movie, Elsa was supposed to be the villain, which makes sense. And she was like being designed after Bette Midler, which is hilarious to me. But yeah, I think that would have been interesting too. But I feel like it would have been a little, I don't know, cliche to have like, oh, the witchy ice power, ice queen is the villain. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, but for her to be the protagonist's sister.
Yeah.
That would have been fresh.
And it would have been interesting to see the fall, because that's if we kept hypothetically the story and she just fell into villainy, like that's always a fun story to tell when you have somebody who a decision or two different may have been a good guy, but this is where they lead.
True.
Do you want to know how I got these scars?
Oh, God. Okay, so Elsa is bugging out about the coronation. Anna is out in the town searching for some dick, and she happens upon Prince Hans, voiced by Santino Fontana, who was Prince Charming in Cinderella on Broadway. He also was Tootsie, the titular character in the Broadway version of Tootsie.
Oh, I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, you didn't know there was Tootsie on Broadway? Think of pretty much any movie, and I'm almost positive there's a Broadway version at this point.
That.
They're making a fucking Broadway musical of the Tammy Faye movie from like 2 years ago. It's fine. Everything's fine, and everything's normal, and it's okay. It's fine. Anyway, they have their little meet cute, Anna and Hans, and then they go to the coronation. Elsa gets through it by the skin of her teeth. And then they have this cute little reception and they communicate for like the first time in fucking years, which is awkward, but also kind of sweet. And then we meet one of the villains of the movie, the Duke of Weselton or Weaseltown, depending on who you ask.
Yeah, he's there.
Voiced by Alan Tudyk, who is like the every animal Disney man, like any animal in a Disney movie, it's Alan Tudyk. But I think his only real contribution to the movie that's of value is doing the Arrested Development chicken dance in the scene coming up here.
Has anyone in this family ever even seen a chicken?
I actually think the Duke of Weselton actually does play a very important part in this movie, because he's our camouflage. Because let's face it, we all know the end.
Right, at this point. I mean, everyone's seen Frozen at this point. I don't think it's really worth it to be like, spoiler alert.
Spoilers for a billion-dollar movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So yes, Hans is evil, blah, blah, blah. But because you're so ingrained of what Disney is, like, oh, the Duke of Weston, obviously evil guy.
Right.
Makes perfect sense. Hans is doing all the good heroic things.
Yeah.
Makes it, like...
They hold out with Hans for a while. Like, so, like, pretty much the last, like, what, 10, 15 minutes of the movie?
And I wonder, like, if part of it was, like, they weren't going to turn Hans bad, but then, like, no, it's kind of better if we turn him bad. But the Duke blinds you from looking at Hans.
Sure. I think he's so obviously the villain that, yeah, you don't even look at Hans because he's just doing all the cookie cutter princely things.
Yeah, but of course we have to address also that, like, surely by this point Disney was dealing with a lot of criticism for all of the previous princess films or being like, oh, these girls are getting married too young and too quickly and they don't know anything about these guys and stuff like that. And it's like, should I get into the rant now?
Yes, I know why it wants to go off.
Well, here's the thing. My problem is that Elsa, at this point, that she, like, snaps down on Anna, she is already anxiety-ridden, plagued to the point where she is afraid to touch static physical objects, and also she's been isolated from everyone but her parents. So why does she, at this exact moment, just pop in to be the voice of experience? What right does she have to say that?
Right, and she says it like it's so obvious. Like, that's what's really funny about it, because she says it like, what the fuck are you you can't marry a guy you just met. And it's like, do you know what movie you're in?
Well, also, like, the only man she's ever known, technically, is her dad.
Yeah. I mean, we can't ask him because he's dead, but I would love to know how long he knew the mom before he married her. Probably not very long.
I just don't understand why this is such a big deal for her. Like, you have to wonder, like, what would have happened had Anna not spilled this tea on her? Would she have gone back to her room after the coronation ended and just kept being in solitude? Would she have, like, the briefest of political meetings with other dignitaries? Would she be ordering room service for the rest of her life?
Yeah, I mean, just as a leader of a country, is Arendelle a country? Is it a province? What is it?
It's like Genovia.
But just as a leader, it seems unfeasible to just lock yourself in a room all day, every day, forever and ever, which also begs the question, what were these parents thinking was going to happen after they died? Because she's the oldest child, so obviously she's going to have to take over someday. Maybe they just thought that she would off herself accidentally with her ice powers before we even got there. She's like, eh.
Maybe she thought the peasants would revolt.
Maybe she thought the sun would, like, explode and there wouldn't even be an issue. The apocalypse is nigh.
And then she'd finally do what frozen things do in summer.
Oh. That's see? Love that.
Which also leads to the question, who's been running this country for the past 3 years?
Yeah, that's true, too.
How is Arendelle holding itself together?
Scott, shut up. But I will say about Anna and Hans, I was annoyed watching the movie again, knowing what was going to happen, and then watching the song Love is an Open Door. I was like, this is a really good song. It's annoying that he's evil, and it's just, it's like based in lies and deceit.
I worry for all the couples who sang this as a duet,
oh,
like,
my God,
unironically.
That's so, yeah, that's really funny.
Well, the other thing is, when you know the twist, the line that really stands out to me is, we finish each other's sandwiches. That's what I was gonna say.
Yeah, whatever you say, babe.
At first you watch it like, oh, that's cute. They're cute together. And then you're like, no, he's just saying whatever he needs to say at this point.
Who would have thought a cute little innocent line about Sammy's would be so sinister?
Just to get into her petticoats. I mean, her throne.
Vile. But yeah, so Anna, after having this lovely duet with Hans, goes to Allison and is like, wedding, please. And she's like, nah. And then they argue. Elsa gets pissed off and accidentally reveals her ice powers to everyone. And the Duke of Weaseltown is immediately like, fucking kill her. She's a witch. And she's essentially run out of town.
Fucking nuke her.
So as Elsa's running away, she inadvertently also freezes the whole fucking town, which is not great. Anna's like, she's my sister, so I'm gonna go after her. And Hans is like, maybe that's not a great idea. You just came out of your castle like today. Maybe that's not a great plan. But she's like, no, no, no. My sister would never hurt me.
So Elsa's God.
Elsa is God because she creates life, we find out later, when Olaf is born.
She creates life. She walks on water.
Yeah, Elsa is Jesus. Perfect segue. We get Elsa's badass song, which is how the Lopez's were told, okay, this is what you need here. You need Elsa's badass song. Go. And they're like, we're gonna try to put a little emo spin on it, you know, for the millennials. And we got the infamous Let It Go.
Let it go, let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go, let it go. Turn away and slam the door.
After not hearing this song for at least 5 years, if not longer than that, because even after the movie was all said and done back in 2013, you heard this song everywhere you went, like we said. So it really never escaped any of our minds well after the movie came out. But I gotta say, I haven't heard it in a long time. And watching the movie again in context with the song, it was nice. It's a good song.
Here's the thing. I don't know if it was right for this to be the number one song. Because this is basically her Hakuna Matata.
Yeah.
So it's her abandoning her responsibilities, the shit that she fucked up. From an emotional perspective, I understand why she makes these choices. I'm just annoyed that she doesn't have much empathy.
I don't think she realizes that she froze the town over. But now I'm thinking, because even after Anna tells her that, she's like, okay, get out. she doesn't really care. I don't think. So yeah, you're right.
Yeah, they were trying to kill her.
No, that's I'm not saying Elsa's this evil. It's fine. I mean, she's...
No, but it's at the same time, she doesn't know how to fix it even if she wanted to.
Right, true. But she, yeah, for the first time in her life, she feels free, which is good for her. Fine.
Good for her.
Long term, that's not exactly feasible.
Well, yeah, well, I do find it funny because I kept pointing out that Wesselton and Hans both say at some point, oh, hey, to end the winter, we should kill Elsa. I'm like, you don't really know if that would work.
That's true.
Because what if you did kill her and it was still winter?
Then you would have literally no way of...
You would have nothing but that sexy white streak in your hair.
Yeah, girl.
Girl work.
So Anna's in the woods now. She immediately loses her horse. It's snowing. And Scott, when we were watching the movie, he's like, maybe, put on some other clothes before you go. But the drama was too high. The vibe was too strong. She just went out there with her dress and high heels and was like, yes, bitch, I'm going to save the day. And then not too long after that, she's like, it's fucking cold out here.
Not too long after that, she gets pneumonia.
Essentially. And then she winds up in Oaken's little shop, which, woohoo, big summer blowout. That was a cute little thing.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, fun fact, he's voiced by Chris Williams, who is the director of such Disney classics Bolt. But he also directed Moana, so it's fine. We forgive him. It's fine for Bolt. Goddamn John Travolta can never leave us.
Never.
The wickedly talented Adele Dazeem.
Stop it.
He seems so unimposing when he first meets Anna. And then Kristoff comes in and
it's like, give me carrots, bitch. And he's like, what did you just say?
And when he stands up, you're like, oh, you're a giant of a man.
So we have Kristoff meeting Anna for the first time. We have Sven in the building. We love Sven because the connection between Kristoff and Sven is very similar to the one I have with my dog. We are best friends, and I talk to myself when I talk to her because I do her voice. So it's totally normal. But yeah, I like the reindeer song. Reindeers are better than people.
That's the only thing I remember from the sequel was in Lost in the Woods. where they do the Queen thing with him and Sven.
Oh, yeah, where they're like showing their face like it's a fucking
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, that I remember that too. That was literally my favorite song, I think, in that movie, Lost in the Woods. I liked that better than Into the Unknown. Because I didn't really know what, Into the Unknown, like, what are you singing about?
The unknown.
Right, but like, I don't...
And going into it.
I don't understand the plot of the movie, so I don't care.
Am I the only human being who likes Show Yourself?
Look, can I tell you something? Before you just said Show Yourself, I was like, oh yeah, that's also a song from the... I didn't remember that at all. I was like, oh no, that also is a song.
Yeah, with Ghost Mommy.
They gave the wickedly talented Adele Dazeem...
Thank you.
Two powerhouse songs in the movie, and neither of them lived up to Let It Go. That's rough.
I don't remember.
I know you don't. There's a reason for that. So Anna buys Kristoff some supplies for him in exchange for taking her up the mountain to go see Elsa. And she's like, don't worry, ice salesman with like wickedly buff arms. I'm going to stop this eternal winter and you can go back to selling your ice, which is a lot more useful in summertime than it is in wintertime. So they go off on their magical, mystical adventure. Our boy Kristoff is voiced by Jonathan Groff, another Broadway dude. He, of course, is in Spring Awakening, original cast, Hamilton. He's currently in Merrily We Roll Along with Daniel Radcliffe on Broadway. He, like Idina Menzel, also had a stint on
Glee. I'm sorry, what's her name?
For a hot minute.
What's her name?
Stop it.
What's her name?
I'm not doing it. I'm bad at it.
The wickedly talented Adele Dazeem.
Though he does have one of my favorite songs in Hamilton.
Oh, the one where he gets some little spittle on the front row.
Oh, yeah. It's
great. Love that for him.
Oh, yeah.
He takes it seriously.
Yeah. And he's also the first gay man to voice a Disney prince?
I'm going to say that's probably true, at least like openly.
Yeah, I would say openly, yes.
Who knows? Who could say? Most of those guys are dead now, so we really have no way.
Oh my God!
Sure. I mean, I'm just saying.
We just got dark quick.
I mean, oh, I'm sorry. Do you want to call up fucking Joe Schmo that voiced Prince fucking Humperdinck in Snow White and ask him?
No. I'm not even thinking about that old. I'm thinking about who's the guy, what was this character's name on Full House?
Huh?
Joey? No, it wasn't Joey. He was one of the daughter's girlfriends, but he's the voice of Aladdin.
Oh, the guy, the Steve from Full House.
Yes,
yeah,
Steve!
I don't remember his name.
Steve.
He's still alive. God bless. You go, girl.
So Kristoff is leading this expedition that goes wildly wrong very quickly.
Yeah, he fucks up his sled and they have to continue their little journey on foot at some point. And then we come across Olaf. It's Olaf. They obviously took Olaf after this movie came out and ran with him. It's like, oh, all the kids love Olaf, right? And in the sequel, he's unbearable. Like, I remember distinctly being like, wow, Olaf is really annoying in this movie when I was watching it in the theater. In the original Frozen, I don't think he's really that bad.
Probably.
Who knows if Wyatt agrees? Who could say? I'm scared. He's sighing.
The sigh is
he's
never
like,
good.
He's like, you dumb bitch. He's horrible.
No. I'm just going to say that we probably didn't need a farting warthog either. But I would gladly take the gay Jewish couple from Lion King over this fucking snowman.
And dear, who voices are Mr. Olaf?
Mr. Olaf? Well, originally it was supposed to be Steve Carell, supposedly. But he decided to do Despicable Me 2 instead. So they gave it to Josh Gad, who's another Broadway guy. He was in the original cast of Book of Mormon. I just know he played like some dog in A Dog's Purpose, and he played some bird in Angry Birds. He just played, and in this he plays some snowman that was miraculously brought to life by an ice god.
Well, let me ask Wyatt this question, because I asked you this question while we were watching the movie. Do you think Josh Gad, in any point in the future, will have a role that will make people think about that role before they think about him being Olaf.
I mean, when they put out that fake Hunchback of Notre Dame announcement.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that. Oh, my God. That's a little too weird. It was weird enough when he played LeFou and, like,
yeah,
all of the South got pissed because, oh, my God, a gay man in a Disney movie.
Not just the South, but, like, Asia, too.
I had totally forgotten he was LeFou.
How could you possibly have forgotten, Scott? It was such a classic role.
Shut up.
Such a classic, wonderful
Shut
performance
the fuck up
that
right
shaped,
now.
shaped live action Disney forever and ever.
The worst gay representation I've ever seen.
So yeah, we meet Olaf and he's like, I can take you to Elsa's castle.
So finally, Anna and Elsa meet again. And it doesn't go well.
Yeah, they have to sing about it, Scott. It's going so badly, they have to sing about it. And it's very dramatic. There's snow a-swirling. Anna's like, yeah, I would love to just leave and stuff. But, like, our whole town is encased in ice. You need to, like, come back and fix it. And she's like, no, I don't know how. So, okay, bye. I'm going to stay here in my ice palace.
Like, look, Elsa, you cryogenically froze everyone in my kingdom. Like, I have nobody
yeah,
to rule.
Yeah, like, this is a problem. Well, oh, and then, sorry, just because this is an important plot point. During the song, Elsa, in her fit of singing dramatic rage, gets Anna in the heart with her ice powers.
The term singing dramatic rage.
You fucking theater rage. Kid.
If you, Scott, were a musical theater nerd, you would understand what I meant by that.
I understood.
But yeah, clearly we're pushing a little crushy crush here between Anna and Kristoff now, and her hair starts turning all the way fucking white. So Kristoff's like, let me take you to meet my friends. And he goes to this, like, clearing, and it's just a bunch of rocks. And Anna and Olaf are very concerned. The fact that Olaf is concerned really concerned everybody else, because, like, if Olaf's freaked out, you know something is wrong. And then suddenly the rocks come to life. Ah, it's the rock people from earlier. And they proceed to wait to handle the Anna potentially dying problem, and they're like, no, let's sing a song first about how you and Kristoff belong together. And we get Fixer Upper, which is the weakest song I think of the movie.
It's either Fixer Upper or, again, the one no one remembers in the very beginning.
You know what, I will totally take the gay Ice Harvester song over this.
Yeah, I feel like that one's so short, too. It's like, okay, it's fine. Like, we're setting the tone.
Like, what does this song have to do with anything?
It really doesn't.
What does it have to do with anything?
We're trying to play matchmaker, Wyatt. Come on.
Which is fine, but, like, you could have a better song. It's not a good song. Like, I don't remember the, he's a bit of a fixer-upper, and then after that, I don't remember anything.
Well, they just proceed to point out all their flaws.
Yes, but what are they, Scott? Do you remember? Exactly.
He suffers from unmanly blondness.
Oh, yeah. Scott was offended by that.
I was.
Scott was like, hey, what the hell is wrong with being blonde? So after the stirring, beautiful song, we finally get Grandpa Kieran Hines rock saying, like, hey, you're going to die, sweetie, unless you...
Sweetie, I'm sorry we had this 4-minute long musical number delaying your lifespan, but you're gonna die, honey.
Right? Like, let's get to the point sooner. Unless you have an act of true love that will thaw your frozen heart. Kristoff is like, okay, well, we need to get to Hans because, like, that's your fiance, apparently. So let's take you back to Arendelle. Meanwhile, Hans isn't even there. He's at the fucking ice palace with his little posse.
Yep.
Trying to capture Elsa. But if he wanted Elsa dead anyway, which is eventually what we find out is the tea, right?
Yes.
Because the way they frame it here is that Hans is leading this posse. Hans wants to capture Elsa and make sure Anna's okay, whatever. But no harm is to come to Elsa. And then...
Why?
And then the Duke's men that are part of the posse go after and try to kill her. But then later we find out, oh, well, you were planning on killing Elsa anyway.
Well,
so why not just let them kill her?
Not even that. Why didn't you just leave her there? Like, she wasn't going to come back. Also, I was devastated when the chandelier broke.
Oh, I know, the fancy ice chandelier almost fucking impaled her ass.
It did.
I was kind of bummed about the whole ice palace in general. That was pretty dope.
But she has a really great eye for architecture.
I wouldn't want to live in that shit, but like...
No.
You make it like a sandcastle on like an island, I'll be down, but like, no.
But anytime it would rain, the sandcastle would melt.
You know what I'm saying? The ice palace is too cold for me, is what I'm saying.
Well, yes, you're cold in like 50 degrees.
Yes, that's cold. 50 degrees isn't cold? No. You're a sicko. Okay, anyway.
Let's just say it goes to show her many, many weird ice abilities, like dressmaking, architecture. Yes. I don't know if she is invested in plumbing with her ice magic, but you know.
So Kristoff brings Anna back to Arendelle, and he reluctantly leaves and goes on his merry way. And then she gets to Hans, and she's like, kiss me, kiss me. And he's like,
oh, Anna, if only there was someone out there who loved you.
What a twist!
I thought Hans is going to kiss Anna, and it just wasn't going to work.
Yeah.
Actually, I think at one time I thought that they were going to ship Elsa with Hans, but that obviously wouldn't have worked out.
No.
I feel like, because they had that like nice, like cute little talk in the prison cell. He's like, I feel really bad, but like, you know.
He literally had specially made handcuffs made for her.
Yeah, you know.
Like, that's kinky. Like,
we love a man who looks out for you.
Oh, God.
Hans has this little evil speech where he's like, I'm gonna take over Arendelle and be king, and because I'm 12th in line, I have 11 fucking brothers, and I'm the least important, so I want to be important.
Well, they do go, like, I was looking up, like, through the wiki, and I think they've gone into Hans's backstory.
Oh my god, why? Why?
Because I had to dive in. And I'm like,
why?
Because that's what I do sometimes.
Oh my god, alright, go. Make your point about the frozen wiki.
It was just interesting, like, they were talking about how his father was, like, apparently, like, abusive and had all his brothers abuse him as he was younger. And that's why he grew up more manipulative, because that's how he figured out how to kind of survive.
Poor attempted murderer.
I feel
so bad.
Oh, well, actually, I have a question. Did they have any photos of his 12 brothers?
No.
That would have been funny.
Okay. I'm sure they were hotter.
Hans and Franz and...
and Wundermeer and Wilhelm.
So Hans leaves Anna to die. And goes to the next room and it's like, oh, we just got our marriage vows before she passed on. Which is like, no one wants to, like, double check that. No one wants to. Okay.
She's so emo, too.
Oh, yeah.
Before she died in my arms.
He went to Juilliard for sure.
So, yes. Hans now married Anna. And he has now convinced everyone that Elsa killed Anna, so Elsa must be put to death.
Well, to be fair, if Anna did die, if we were in a court of law, let's say, Elsa would be guilty.
Manslaughter. Manslaughter.
Oh, yeah. No, I, as the dead person, I would feel much better being manslaughtered than murdered.
I'm just...
Still dead.
Technically stating in the court of law.
Oh, okay. Okay, sweetie.
It's manslaughter. And probably, like, second degree.
What the fuck? Are you like a lawyer? Who the fuck are you?
Do you guys have these conversations off cast, like, frequently?
Yeah, that's all we do now. We just talk about the lore of Disney films. This Disney series has taken over our life. So, yeah, Elsa actually ends up escaping her little prison cell. Kristoff, like, he's over the hill, like, looking on at Arendelle, and he sees, like, a big snow cloud forming. So he goes back to go get Anna, and Hans goes out looking for them. Olaf is in there. Oh, right, because Olaf finds Anna. This is, like, the whole fucking theme of the movie. Olaf finds Anna about to fucking perish and goes and lights a fire so she can warm her little frozen heart, and he starts melting, and he's like, some people are worth melting for. And then he basically talks her into, like, oh, well, Kristoff's like a nice guy, he loves you and stuff, you love him? Okay, so maybe he's who we need. And then he looks out the window and sees Kristoff's coming back. So we're like in the climax, basically. The climax of climax is here. There's a storm a-coming. And Anna is dying, looking for Kristoff. Kristoff's looking for Anna. Hans finds Elsa, is like, you killed your fucking sister, you bitch. And she just freaks out and the whole storm like dissipates. Kristoff and Anna see each other and you think they're gonna like run into each other's arms, but then she looks over and sees Hans with his sword raised to Elsa, and she runs over very heroically, puts her hand up and immediately freezes, shatters fucking Hans's sword.
And she goes, Rosebud.
Jesus Christ. But yeah, Elsa is sad. She is sad, girl. She cry.
She's sad. Kristoff's sad.
Kristoff's sad.
Sven's sad.
Everybody's sad.
You know, I wouldn't have minded if this scene went on a bit longer. Like, I wanted her to break down for another 30 seconds.
Well, because the second Elsa, like, hugs her and starts crying, she immediately starts melting. And it's like, oh, okay. I don't think anyone really thought, like, oh, they're going to kill the main character that's, like, the most probably generally relatable character that everybody, you know what I mean? I don't think anyone actually thought that. But it would have been nice if they held on her for longer to make you think, like, oh, maybe she is dead.
Or, like, maybe Elsa should think about the consequences of her actions or something. Hmm.
Well, Disney's
God forbid.
Disney's afraid to kill anybody that we love, you know, for God's sakes.
Oh, well, they killed that stupid fly in Princess and the Frog.
Well, no one loved the fly.
No one loved that stupid fly.
You're right.
He loved a star in the sky, and she didn't even love him. Oh, that's unfortunate. That's mean.
Oh, poor Evangeline.
I don't feel bad, though. That's rough.
You know what I love more than that fly? Keith David's boot that squished it.
Aw. We're being so mean to an animated fly that's dead. That's really, that's rough. Oh, well. Anyway. So, yeah, Anna unfreezes. And they're like, oh, you sacrificed yourself for me. The sister's true love. That's the real true love. It's not a romantic kind of love, you fools. It's a subversion from the normal Disney romantical trope. Yay. And then happy ending.
Yeah.
Anna punches Hans in the face. And Elsa realizes that love is the way.
Have you seen the screenshots of his face?
Oh, yes, where his face is like completely indented.
It's beautiful.
That's fun. It really is fun. Elsa realizes that love is the way, and she unfreezes the town. And Hans and the Duke are excommunicated. And Jesus Christ. Elsa takes her place as queen. True ice queen. And then Anna and Kristoff smooch, and that's the movie. Oh, and Olaf is alive now because Elsa gave him a little snow cloud so he doesn't die.
Yes, since, you know, what happens to ice in the summer?
No, we didn't talk about it in summer.
Did we even talk about in summer?
No, we didn't talk about
it. We didn't, did we? Shit, we missed the whole song. Olaf's only song in the movie, we skipped it. Oh well, it was fine, it was cute.
It's fine. The best line in the whole movie is, I'm gonna tell him.
Oh yeah, don't you dare. No, I like the line,
put me in summer and I'll be a,
winter's a good time to stay in and cuddle, but put me in summer and I'll be a happy snowman. I know, because in the, they have like a Frozen sing-along thing in Disney World, and the last time we went there, and I had like read or seen videos of people like in that part of the song, they just scream puddle, and then the like cast members get like fake mad, and I was just gonna do it, but we were in the back. I was like, that's not gonna work.
No
get out of here. That was, yeah, I just think that's really funny. But yeah, Olaf again, I don't think was that bad in this movie.
Yeah, he's fun.
Of all the Disney sidekicks in all the land, he's not the worst, at least in this movie.
No.
I have a feeling that if the sequel was bad with Olaf, then 3 and 4, I feel like you shouldn't bet all your money on 4 happening, but that's besides the point. Yeah, I have a feeling the sequels coming up are going to be even worse with Olaf. which is unfortunate because all the Frozen shorts as well focus a lot on Olaf. It's really scary. I'm scared.
So when are we going to get Olaf 1.5 where we tell the
oh
story
my God, imagine.
Through Olaf?
That would be really fucking weird.
Well, technically, they already have covered that.
They showed him as like a not alive being, and then they showed him being born into sentience pretty much. So it's like, yeah. I love, though, that like they don't really focus on the fact at all that Elsa can like create life and shit. Not with just Olaf, but with Marshmallow, too.
Yeah.
Which Marshmallow also falls off a cliff and is supposedly dead. Which also is not really like, aw, my little ice guard. I miss him. Nope. No one cares.
And also, she can make ice skates.
Yeah.
And fireworks.
She can just make things that aren't ice appear. That's true.
Yeah, she is God.
She is literal ice Jesus. Great. Cool. Make that your sequel. Why are we talking about fucking... I don't even remember what the second movie was about. So I can't be like, why are we making a sequel about... Da-da-da? I don't remember.
I think she does like embrace becoming like an ice god of nature. I think that's a thing in there.
Yeah.
Because Anna becomes like queen.
Oh, right. Anna's the queen at the end of the second one. Because they put Kristoff in a suit and he's like, I don't like this. And she's like, it's just for a little bit. Relax.
No. She's like... I like you better in leather anyway.
Oh my God. That's great.
Oh yeah, and then she goes off being ice, Jesus. Ice, Jesus, Jesus.
Oh my God.
I do love, though, at the end, though, when she gives Kristoff the sleigh and she goes, you're the official ice... like
ice master or something
of Arendelle. He goes, that's not a title. Yes it is. I can make it a title.
We fucking own this whole town. We can do whatever the fuck we want.
Now kiss me.
Sure, it's nepotism because you're my boyfriend, but who cares?
Oh my God. Also, the whole thing of like the fact that they only knew each other for like 2-3 days.
Yeah, like that's so much better than Hans. But they don't get married till the next movie.
Yeah, they don't get married till the sequel, which takes place later sometime.
I would assume that the sequel takes place later because otherwise it would be a prequel.
It could be a midquel.
You're really smart. So that was Frozen, you guys. How do we feel?
I feel like we had a bit more fun talking about it than I did watching it.
Aw. What about you, Scott?
I feel like this is a movie you can watch every 6 to 7 years and get enjoyment out of it.
I mean, yeah, sure, man.
Before it goes back into the Disney vault.
The problem is, though, if you're a parent... your kid's not going to want to watch it every 6 to 7 years. They're going to want to watch it every 6 to 7 hours. So that's a problem for you.
Window.
Window.
Yeet!
Yeet!
This bitch empty. Yeet!
It's empty.
We've dived the chaos.
I love you guys.
So what did we rate this movie out of 5 stars? I have it as a 4. I kept it as a 4 from my previous viewing.
I also gave it a 4.
Was it out of 4 previously?
Yes.
I give it a 3.5.
All right, that's fair.
That seems like a very tentative 3.5.
Well, here's the thing. I think my problem is, as we've gone through, it's like the writing is very sloppy. The way that they handle story elements, it's a bit clunky. And I think that that's going to carry on to Jennifer Lee's latest project, which is Wish.
Oh, geez.
But I do know that there are a lot of really good points about this movie. And I think the message is good. I just don't think they tackled it in a nuanced way. That's all.
I can see where the clunkiness argument comes into play. It's definitely not subtle, Frozen. Okay, so that was Frozen, guys. So next week, we are continuing with our winter wonderland of cinematic, well, I was going to say gold, but not with next week's movie.
No.
Oh, no.
Nope.
Scott's going to show me a movie that I really don't want to watch, but I'm going to watch it because, I mean, I'm here and that's my job. Costs too much to get a divorce, so I'm going to watch the fucking movie. Merry Christmas, dear. So, yeah, it's going to be another bad movie, but don't worry, guys, because after... this is going to be our last So Bad It's Good movie of the year, and then after that, we'll watch some actually good holiday movies. Don't worry. It's going to be okay. There's a snowman in it.
There is a
snowman.
Doesn't
that sound nice? But until then, this has been Shoot the Flick. I'm Frankie Sparks.
And I'm Scott Eisenberg.
And Wyatt, I want to give you, darling, a chance to plug the shit out of your stuff, because we want everyone to check out your podcast.
Yes, thank you guys. Well, y'all can find my show at Disney Reel to Reel. We're available across all podcast platforms. My cousin and I and a variety of other guests, including fellow High School Musical stan Frankie, have been going through numerous Disney films, whether they be animated, live action, TV, theatrical, whatever the fuck, and we were having a really fun time. So yeah, and also if you want to reach out to us, you can also... We have an Instagram at DisReelToReelPodcast. Any emails can go to DisneyReelToReel@gmail.com. And yeah, I guess I'm your frozen hearted bitch, Wyatt.
Yes, I would say Disney Reel to Reel is like my number one place to go for Disney nerdy shit and fun.
Aw, thank you.
So be sure to check that out. I love Wyatt and his cousin Rayleigh's little... back and forth. It's very fun to watch, or listen to, I should say. So be sure to check that out, and make sure you check us out on our Instagram and our Twitter at Shoot the Flick, and check out all of our episodes on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and iHeartRadio, and pretty much anywhere else you can find a podcast. And make sure you come back next week for our frosty, chilly movie adventure.
It'll be a cold day in hell.
Oh my god. Oh my god. No.
Sending love from the wickedly talented Adele Dazeem.
Bees will buzz, kids will blow dandelion fuzz, and I'll be doing whatever snow does in summer. I shrink in my hand, my snow up against...